That was a weak little Fennec clap.
It was a little weak little paws could barely do it.
It's because you haven't trimmed your paws, so they're all all the fluff.
Yeah, it's all the fluff just goes.
Duchess. Give me mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 341, 1010101. Yes, that's 341 in binary. I'm Saffron.
Nerd!
Well, you know...
I'm Fuzzwolf.
We were like, one of the things at this point, we sit down and we're like, all right, we want to title this episode. And it's like, what, first of all, what can we put on iTunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Titling an episode, No, You Really Should Punch Nazis, is probably going to get it flagged. And, you know, you can't put swears in the title. You can't even put shit.
Episode 341, I'm coming in Saffron's mouth.
But not right now.
And then it's just like an hour-long file of gargling noises.
Choking.
Our Patreon subscribers get the real episode.
No. So, it has been another magical week down here in Tejas.
In Fennecland.
Today it got up to 87 degrees.
Are you shitting me?
I am not.
Wow.
You know, it's a good thing we found those seven planets, three in the habitable zone, because we ain't going to be very in our own habitable zone when summer comes around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only 40 light years away. I'll just hop into my Asp Explorer, and that's like two hops. It's a shame it's not actually 3303, and I don't have access to a spaceship that can jump 40 light years.
So it's in the 34th century?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty far away, man.
Yeah. And it's funny because the star system doesn't exist in Elite Dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Like, you said you were going to look and see if it was on there.
And they're like, we can't. And the devs are like, we can't really add this without disrupting a bunch of other stars right near where it's supposed to be.
Mm hmm.
It would put them too close to each other, apparently.
Like, I'm assuming our solar system is in Elite Dangerous.
The soul is the core of the game, is where you used to start. You used to start, like, over Earth.
Oh, so not to go, like, zero to politics, but this is related to the planet thing. I saw the dumbest fucking tweet from a conservative today.
Oh, yes.
That was A, stupid, and B, factually inaccurate. That they said that under Obama's watch, we lost one planet, and under Trump's, we've gained seven.
God is great, or something
Yeah,
like
God
that.
Is great. And it's like, apparently Pluto, I haven't checked the veracity of the day.
That was 2006.
But yeah, apparently Pluto was declassified as a planet during the Bush administration.
Yeah.
So they're factually inaccurate. And also, that's just such a fucking stupid thing to say.
And last year we found like 1,400 exoplanets.
Mm-hmm.
During Obama's administration, we found more exoplanets than ever.
But God gave us these planets because Trump.
You know, I replied as gently as I could to the person that retweeted. Someone retweeting it disapprovingly going, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, these people are mentally deficient.
Mm.
Not, these guys are literally retarded. Like, that is so...
That's some Alex Jones conspiracy theory kind of shit.
That is ridiculous bullshit. Like, the readings for this shit was taken over, like, hundreds of hours of scanning the skies and...
They didn't just suddenly appear.
They don't go, oh, shit, that's where they were.
Yeah.
It shows this... just massively anti-intellectual, magical thinking, fucking bullshit that I utterly hate.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So that's a thing.
Yeah. I saw that today and I was just like, wow. And like the people like further down in the reply thread, you know, and actually this is something else. It's like, you know, the fucking magic is real contingent. There was an article that I saw today that was, witches are going to gather tomorrow night, Friday, on that midnight, and cast a spell to bind Trump. you know, and sure, whatever. You know, pagans are generally pretty cool people. And, like, but the thing is, the people retweeting this are like, oh, fuck, we have to pray to God to defend our president. God's, you know, Trump is God's man on earth, and we need to pray to protect him versus witches.
The Pope is supposed to be God's man on earth, but...
These people are...
Never mind.
These people are not Christians. They're American Christians. Like, I'm going to have to, like, put the delineation and say that there is actually, like, very big differences between actual Christians who can be okay people and American Christians who are 99% of the time shit. Mm. Evangelicals, Baptists, generally not good people.
Mm. Lutherans are okay.
Lutherans are generally all right.
And what are the other ones?
Episcopalians. They're pretty good.
The Episcopal Church has actually been quite open to embracing new ideas.
UCC.
That's like atheist church. That doesn't count.
No, that's not. That's
the universal.
That's universalist. No, it's a Christian community. It's a very LGBT-friendly one.
Okay.
But
is that Unity something?
I don't know.
Never mind.
But it's like there are some good American. Basically, mainline Protestantism is primarily the. We don't hate gays. They're okay.
I saw a Catholic priest on Twitter who has quite a following. Actually, was tweeting about not being shitty to trans people, basically because of this new executive order, and another Catholic preacher like replied to him like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And then there was a little bit of a philosophical discussion, and then cue all the armchair Christians, you know, trying to disagree with him. You know,
it was like
the people replying to the Pope.
The fucking Pope is talking about stuff
about the refugees. Yeah,
and someone's like, "No, you should totally read this book by this prosperity gospel heretic." I call them heretics because it's really a disgusting form of religion.
Right.
Hey, guys, in case you didn't know, I have very strong opinions on this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you grew up in the my cock.
But you know, going to the trans thing, right?
Mm.
You know, it's such utter bullshit. And you have this fucking DeVos woman and she's like, "Oh, we need to protect all students."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, so we throw the trans kids under the bus to, quote, protect all students. It really is.
DeVos really said something without saying anything. Nothing by saying something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she spoke like a paragraph and said nothing.
Yeah, like nothing of substance.
It fucking baffles me, like, how people can be so hateful about people who are, for the most part, concepts to them. And that's probably why it's so easy for them to be so hateful, is mm-hmm. because they don't know any trans people.
Or just dismissive, like, "Oh, that'll never happen." You know, and it's like, because they think they don't know any trans people.
Well, I mean, and some of these people really don't. But it's just so utterly
I bet they do, hateful. And they don't realize it. No.
And, like, it's one thing to be like, "I don't know any trans people, I don't understand it, whatever," to, you know, that's sort of a benign neutrality to
these people fuckers don't deserve rights.
Don't deserve rights, don't deserve to be able to use the restroom. You know, it's a public accommodation issue, mm-hmm. right? You know, if they can't go pee, you know, they can't work, they can't do this, that, and the other. It's like taking away the right to go fucking take a shit mm-hmm. is like a fundamental, like, it kicks the legs out of public doing anything, you know?
I saw a tweet today that said there should be a third bathroom option, shitting on a politician's face.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of places that have just single seaters, they've started doing that. Where, like, there's a couple Starbucks around here. It's just, like, two single-seater bathrooms. They're not labeled. It just says restroom.
Yeah. You know? Like, why do you even need to delineate that, you know, when it's just a toilet and a sink? It's sort of like literally anybody can use that.
Well, it's like, you know, Pizzarella. We go there all the damn time, and they have theirs is delineated, even though it's two single stalls.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's like,
It's just kind of pointless because if I'm standing there and I'm just absolutely bursting and someone's taking a long time in the men's room,
I'm just
where's the fucking problem with walking into the identical room that has a lady on the door?
But there's flowers in there and potpourri It's the women's space. Ooh.
Well, I got a poopery, so.
Yeah. So, and this actually, it brings up a lot of issues because of, like, our involvement in conventions and whatnot, right? Is, like, you know, when you run events like this, you have to make sure that you're protecting everybody. And so, like, being really forthright and saying, like, none of the, no fuckery towards any trans person is going to be acceptable or allowed and not punished severely at Nightmare Nights or Fiesta. If I see it, I will kick these motherfuckers to the curb harder than security would.
We'll throw them into the Hall of Punches.
The Hall of Punches. Well, I'm just getting lots of mail today, huh?
It's like the Hall of Mirrors, but only for Nazis.
Yeah, just... It's like Kevin Smith's safe room of the dicks on the wall.
Right.
Except it's
punches. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just baffles me because I see a lot of my friends are hurt by this.
Yeah.
And these people claim to be Christian. You know, congratulations. You have turned what, at least when I was younger, a benign religious belief into literally poison for millions of people.
Yeah,
like on one hand, I applaud the amount of people that are successfully driving towards atheism. Like, I hope that this poisons the fuck out of religion in America, that people begin to view it as a social ill, because that would be pretty cool.
This country is way too fucking religious.
Yeah. People need to, like, realize that not being a shit to your fellow man is not hard.
Yeah.
And if your religion says you should be shit to your fellow man, you really shouldn't be part of it.
Well, that's the thing that's really irritating, is Christianity says you shouldn't be a shit, but people ignore the parts that they don't like, and they add stuff like, well, unless they're this kind of person, or unless they're of another race.
Or they're from another country.
Yeah.
You know, it... Oh. Angry Finnick.
Yeah, I could go on about everything that's wrong with Christianity in America. I mean, with the, you know, and I don't know what the balance is. I've been told that, like, no, they're just, it's just a minority of really loud, obnoxious people.
Loud, obnoxious, powerful people.
But you see so much of it, it's hard not to think that that's the majority, especially when they show up in droves and vote for maniacs, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, I welcome the downfall of religion as a major powerful force, but it's just nasty what we're going through right now. You know, and you've got, and speaking more of hypocrisy, you know, you had the whole Milo thing.
Yes.
So, Milo Yeno, please, the Gucci bag-wearing piece of shit from Britain who gleefully outed trans people, advocated violence, and said, hey, gay conversion therapy is A-okay.
Oh, you said that, too?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know about that part. That's dumb.
You know, attracting an entourage of disaffected gamer gators and dipshit 4chaners.
Yeah.
Finally got his comeuppance, I suppose, in a way. That, you know, he'd previously been invited to speak at CPAC.
CPAC, yeah.
Which is Conservative Political Action Committee's, basically it's their conservative wank fest.
Mm-hmm.
And
in a convention of all the worst people in America, Milo was uninvited.
Yes. And it wasn't because he hates women.
Richard Spencer was kicked out.
It wasn't because he hates women or that he hates gay people or anything else. Because he casually, as some people framed it, advocated that, yeah, pedophilia's all right. And he's like, I wouldn't suck dick nearly as well today if I hadn't been molested by his priest or something like that. And I'm like, really?
Mm.
And it's fairly ridiculous. It's like, okay, on one hand, yeah, he's a victim of sexual assault. And he never got past that. He turned that into, like, being a vile human sack of shit instead of maybe dealing with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, okay, maybe he's hurting on the inside and he's suffered trauma from this, but that doesn't excuse the fact that he's lashed out at literally everybody else except for white straight males at some point in his misbegotten career. It's impressive, you know, and he's fallen from grace. And even fucking Breitbart News, the right wingiest that is the right furthest right wing you can get to without going to InfoWars, or
he was their senior editor and he stepped down.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, these people, I say with quotation marks, would happily work with, you know, racist, misogynist, anti-immigrant people, but, you know, that's okay. But there's this one line you can't cross. We've crossed all these other ones, but this is the last one.
I figure maybe he can get an editorial position at NAMBLA.
Why would Marlon Brando lookalikes want to talk to him?
I don't think I'd heard that.
Oh, it's an old South Park thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like Cartman thinks it's the North American Marlon Brando lookalikes club. And so he's like, wow. You know, NAMBLA.
Right, yeah.
That was an old, old, old one.
I hadn't heard that one.
So he's been hoisted by his own petard. And I think, you know, in an ideal world, he could disappear for a while and come back, like, you know.
A changed man?
Well, I'm comparing to, you know, one of the Phelps daughter that left.
Right.
You know, one of Fred Phelps' daughter that left and said, yeah, that was some real fucked up shit. I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to fix that shit, my family's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he could turn around and be like, yeah, I was being a shit for money and realized I'm a shit and I'm going to stop being a shit. But the odds of that actually happening are next to
nothing. I was watching his press conference and he seemed genuinely contrite and apologetic about making the child abuse thing seem less important and serious than it was. And I thought, I wonder if he's actually going to change his ways. And then as the press conference went on, he's like, he's doubling down. He's like, I'm still going to say outrageous things and I'm still going to offend people and I'm still going to do this and that. And I'm like, okay, so you're not actually changing at all.
Yeah, it's
when people came around, yeah, he made a joke he misworded some things, but he normally wouldn't give a shit about that. When people were actually like, you're defending kid fucking, then that was like the only thing that made him like sort of stop and reevaluate anything he's ever said.
And, you know, it's like,
and
yeah,
it's still not enough to actually push him into being a decent human being, but
yeah, he's going to triple down, start his own thing. And
oh, and about that, apparently he had his own thing about 10 years ago. And like several people have spoken up and said that fucker never paid me for art and reporting and stuff like that. Various people have been like, he owes me like $6,000 from a decade ago or whatever. No. Yeah. So that's just being a shitty person in another way.
Yeah, the road to shit.
Yeah.
You know, instead of being pulling back, he doubles down in his own little echo chamber of, nah, fuck them, liberal tears, a little triggered. They're just mad at you because you're, you know, they ascribe to the, if you're making people mad, you're doing it right. Conservative philosophy.
If you're making people mad, you're an asshole.
Yeah. And then, of course, Richard Spencer, a.k.a. the most punchable Nazi, got kicked out of CPAC because, well, he's no longer useful to them.
Yeah, basically.
And a lot of this is, I think a lot of it is, you know, we used you meme-spewing idiots to secure our victory, and you're no longer useful.
Yeah. Now and apparently there were some speeches at CPAC that they were trying to distance themselves from the alt-right.
Calling
and saying
them
that those
liberal fascists, which makes zero sense.
I know, right? they're so extremely left that they looped around and became the alt-right?
Yes.
That's, okay.
that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Just
follow the money. Well, does the money go to George Soros?
He's never paid me any money.
I know, right? Like, where's my protester bucks?
Fucking Milo stole it.
God damn it. So, let's see. I actually have a show flow chart today.
Yes.
We made it at dinner. I was like, okay, so there's points 1, 2, 3, and 4.
All right.
Night in the woods, that's right. So that game has come out. Night in the Woods is a side-scrolling adventure game where you are a cat.
I'm sorry. I just thought of something else. Like, we were talking the other day about the alt-right insult cuck.
Yes.
And I didn't know about, you told me there's the term wage cuck.
Yes.
We were like, ha-ha, you have a job. It's like, what?
Yes. Oh, actually, so there was... this is actually go back to political stuff. and then, sorry, then sorry we're talking about video games. I'm gonna go back to talking about video games. About cats, people.
Yeah.
So there is almost like, you know, I went this political person or whatever on Twitter is like, you know, I went to poll to make sure to see how they were doing after the whole Milo debacle, and clearly they're on the pulse of what's going wrong, and it's someone writing a thread about small shopping carts, calling them cuck carts. And
Chris Clue, laughing about a borderline crying because this is just the dumbest thing.
And they're calling them that because, like, they're single people carts. They're not buying for their families. They're buying only for themselves. What can we do to stop the cuck cart phenomena?
So how can they be, like, making, like, a cuck is someone well, technically, I mean, it's the fetish with your wife and everything like that. So why are they making fun of people who are single with the word cuck?
Because it's just their, it's the new fag.
I guess, yeah.
Because people reclaimed the word fag.
And we hear so much about the beta cucks, but we never hear about the alpha cucks.
Yeah.
The really buff, masculine guys that are like, you, little man, fuck my wife hard while I watch.
Yeah, this is great. Oh, I'm rock fucking hard. Well, I would be if I could get it up, but this is fucking great. Do it.
I'm going to tug your asshole while you fuck my wife, whether you like it or not.
And so, and Chris Clue had...
You like fucking my wife with your balls in my mouth, oh man?
Yes. I was just like, what else to say? I don't know. But I went to the store because we need bread, and I tweeted a
fucking
picture.
Fucking shopping cuck.
I'm
grocery cuck.
I'm the grocery cuck, I guess. Because I went to the for some cuck bread to go with my cuck sandwiches for my cuck lunch. I don't know, man. It's becoming a meaningless word. But I took a photo of the little cart, because they have the
yes,
and it's like,
oh no, you tweeted it at Chris Clue.
And he favorited it as like low energy, low tea, sad. It's like, oh no, my grocery store has been invaded by cuck carts. And I'm just like, those are the carts I use anyway, because I don't ever buy that much groceries in one go. And if I do need to do a full run, I will use the full-size cart, but it's so ridiculous. I mean, what do they call the little hand baskets? Like, fag crates? Who knows?
the less successful spin-off of Loot Crate.
It's just...
Every month, you will receive a crate of gay shit.
I bet there's a subscription service for that. If there's a subscription service for that, right into the show.
It's full of makeup, a season pass to RuPaul's Drag Race,
cock rings, samples, occasionally a DVD,
tickets to some Broadway musical, Rent or something.
Oh, you don't want to go see Rent. I've seen that movie whole once, and I never want to see it again.
Same here. I hated that movie.
I liked it, but I cried. I don't want to watch it again.
I didn't like it. I don't like musicals. Like, there's like three or four musicals I do like, but
oh shit, that was my bad.
Sorry. Like Moulin Rouge, and what's another one? Most of the Disney ones, but Rent was just fucking annoying.
Yeah, everybody in the movie was kind of a shit.
I guess because
most of the main characters were. Then a lot of side characters who...
Repo. I enjoyed Repo.
Okay.
Because it's just so bizarre and different.
I've seen that one.
Well, you know, I have it on DVD if you want to come over and watch it sometime.
All right.
But Rent was just irritating. I don't know. The whole thing of, like, everyone bursts into song instead. Like, it had, like no dialogue that I remember.
Yeah.
It may have, but I don't remember it. I just remember it just singing from beginning to end. No matter what they're doing, you know, I'm going to fill out my cuck cards. You know, I'm just shut up. I am so sad because all my lovers died.
It's the 80s and we all have AIDS.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a grim show.
Just a little lease. Bit. Yeah.
AIDS. Do.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Watch Jeffrey. You want like a fun movie about AIDS. I know that seems weird.
Doing a fun movie for the whole family.
That seems weird, but, you know, it's a gay comedy. You know, AIDS is addressed, obviously, because it came out in the early 90s. And, you know, hell, it's Patrick Stewart as a gay interior decorator. It's worth it just for that. What are you doing at your computer, Saffron?
So I need to get some better sound baffling for my PC. I occasionally, when, like, just kind of at random, the front motor fans will start vibrating ever so slightly, and then it'll just resonate.
Oh,
so it's just
zzz. Oh, I thought that was your like an actual fan.
Oh, it's the fan from the front of my computer that I need to get like some like foam or something to keep it from doing that. Because a bit of a problem. Also, I need to get have Zentra check out my intercooler fan because it's being kind of rattly. But that's neither here nor there. So, Night in the Woods.
Night in the Woods! Yes!
After our brief foray into musicals and how, what a fun movie that is. So, Night in the Woods came out, and a lot of people are very excited. It is apparently super good. So, Zap was real excited about this because he first played it a few years ago at HavenCon. And that was one of those games where I wasn't able to play the demo or whatever. I didn't look at it, whatever.
Or you looked at it and you're like, ugh, furries.
Oh, yeah, you know me. Well, I played this other game that was like a post-apocalyptic adventure game where you have to drive a car and get gas and stuff, and there's bugs. Mm-hmm. And I managed to break the demo.
Yeah.
It was great. But it's a side-scrolling adventure game with narrative that's like the main character is this cat girl who she failed out of college and has gone back home to her Rust Belt refinery town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a town where everything's pretty static. Very little has changed. And there's some narrative mystery going on there, and I'm not going to get too deep into it because apparently you really need to play it for yourself, which I'm going to be doing probably soon enough, maybe stream it, whatever. But it's a big deal, and it's this indie game that was kickstarted and finally came to fruition, and it's both furry but not. Like, it uses animal people as the stand-in, because there's like, well, just animal people. People can complain, oh, there's too many whites, blacks, Asians, Indians, whatever in this show.
Hey, animal people are cool.
Yeah.
So,
well, like, the main character is a cat, and her best friend's an alligator, and she had a male friend of hers who's a...
A bear.
There's a bear and a wolf.
That are a gay couple, I think.
And, like...
Well, I know the wolf's gay.
The wolf, and is like, he's like, I have cups on my ears, you know?
Yeah.
Giant Bomb actually has a quick look up on it, so if you go to Giant Bomb and check out, they've got, like, it's like an hour long.
Yeah.
And it's just them kind of playing through it and talking over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems really clever.
The music in the trailer was really good.
Yeah, so. And it's one of those things that's like, ah, it's another art project that seems to, like, it really well-made, neat thing that's good, quick, support this stuff.
Like, it looked good to me, and I don't really get into video games, but I was like, I really like the character designs and the art style, and I'm just like, ah, that looks really good. And so Tieran was telling me, Tieran really likes the Loading Ready Run group's videos. He watches a lot of them. He watches their Desert Bus stream and stuff like that, and always throws money at them. And apparently that group has been doing a Let's Play of Night in the Woods. And, like, apparently one of the women on the group, like, grew up in basically exactly that kind of town and was predicting the dialogue of the main character before she said it. Because it was just like, yep, it is exactly like that.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a certain kind of person called a crust punk that she explains what that is in the video.
But yeah, the game was kickstarted a while back, and it received about $200,000 in funding.
Okay, cool.
It was only went at $50,000. Basically,
was it made by one person, or did they have a team?
it's made. It says there's three designers on it, so Alex Holoka, Scott Benson, and Bethany Hockenberry. Mm-hmm. So there may be other people involved, but it might just be those three people.
Yeah.
Well, it's developed by the studio Infinite Fall, so there's probably a handful of people.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's indie, so those are generally pretty small groups.
Yeah.
But basically, the May comes back to her town, Possum Springs, and...
I love that name, too, Possum Springs.
And it's interesting because you make decisions. So I'm reading the Wikipedia article on it because the reviews are all like, this is really good, play it.
Right.
You know, it's you're going through the narrative, but you have choices of, like, who do you talk to, who do you hang out with more? So you end up seeing more of that person's story. So no two playthroughs will be quite the same because I guess you have a limited amount of time to do certain things for the story. So that seems really cool. And I dig, you know, the music seems really good. And I watched a bit of not the Let's Play, but the quick look, and was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to probably buy this and play it. I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Add it to the pile. But I should probably do it on the more near term while it's still a hot thing. Because neat narrative games with animal people. Woo!
Yep.
So that is, you know, it's very furry in a way. It's very much up our wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So
in our faces, or
yes. So moving on to the other shit we just talked about. So Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is still delightful.
Mm-hmm.
It is still like not. I wouldn't like number two, second best anime of the season behind Little Witch. And they had a really good episode this last week. It was titled Summer Staples. Parentheses, the fan service episode, basically. And everyone's like, oh, God, are they really going to do a full fan service episode? No. So, like, they spend, they preview it as such, and then, like, maybe the first 8-9 minutes of the episode are, like, they go to the beach, but it's, like, almost zero fan service.
Yeah.
In terms of that, and it's more like, you know, Toru having introspection and talking about how she's thinking internally, like, you know, she's so different from other dragons because she doesn't really want to kill humans. She loves the fuck out of Miss Kobayashi, and she's really happy being with her. So, you know, she'll stay in the human world for a while. And there's a couple inner things where, like, little Kana, she's a baby storm dragon. Baby as in only a few hundred years old. And she's just like, oh, is this food? Eat. So, like, the opening, she's on the beach, and this crab walks up to her, and she's like, snips at her. Oh, just eats the crab fucking whole. There's a scene later on the episode where there's a cicada on the side of a tree. She's got a net in hand. Oh, she eats it. And her summer homework is to write about animals, and the note she makes is like, chalky, crunchy. And the big thrust of the episode, which is really weird because a lot of anime doesn't have like a moral thrust. It's not like, you know, this is an anime. It's going to tell some. It's going to be humorous. It's going to tell a story. It's not going to have a, like, in this particular case, very pro convention, pro self expression kind of thing, where Toru and Miss Kobayashi go with their friend to sell at Comic-Con. They get to run a con booth, and the story focuses on Toru basically seeing all these people in costumes and being themselves and accepting of their quirks. And then she realizes that there are a lot of monsters from her world that are here just blending in, you know, elves and ogres and whatnot, because people just assume it's cosplay. And they're like, yeah, the events like these are really important because it lets us be ourselves without people freaking out. You know, we can show up and without having to hide our true form, and people just accept us, and that's really important. And Toru, who's been like hiding her tail and wings through magic, is like, by the end of it, she's like, wait, I can be myself here. And she, you know, unhides her wings and tail, and everyone's like, oh shit, can I take your photo? This is really cool. And it's one of those things where you don't expect an anime, like, I can't think of really any anime in the last little while that's had this, like, a message similar to, you know, conventions are really cool and they're great for marginalized and weird people to go and be themselves. And that's just what I got from it. I mean, yeah, it's still a really cute, top-notch anime, that I'm really, really enjoying.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that, and it stood out to me because it's uncommon for anime to have, like, a moral.
Mm-hmm.
As weird as that is. And Little Witch Academia continues to be awesome. That's my anime of the season. The consensus I've been hearing with a lot of people is that, like, Little Witch Academia is a great show that is anime, not, like, this is a good show regardless of its source. Like, this is a very well-written mm-hmm. and a well-animated show. And so, like, it should really penetrate very well into a market that's not, like, anime. Like, no, this is just a really good show. Like, mm-hmm. watch this shit when it comes out legally on Netflix.
Anime. Yes.
But those are the two best shows of the season right now. It's a good time. You know, it's like Little Witch comes out on Sundays. Maid Dragon comes out on Wednesdays. So you have, like, you don't have to wait too long until you get a show you really like coming out. And you're like, oh, this is great. It's either Little Witches or Dragon Maids, and it's twice a week. Ah, so Fuzz is holding up his phone and mm-hmm. an article on Night in the Woods, and it's a wolf holding hands with a bear.
Greg and Angus.
Ah. Yes. So you guys should totally watch, you know, check it out. And what's nice, well, right now with Little Witch is right now you can pirate it, which don't do that, kids. But with Maid Dragon, you can actually watch it for free on Crunchyroll, at least the first 6 episodes. So, you know, you don't actually have to give anybody any money to watch it legally right now.
Yay, I guess.
Because, well, it's like at the start of the season, there's only like 1 or 2 episodes, and you have to wait until, you know, it's available to non-premium subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still watch it legally, like, be like a week behind. I got a text. Or did I? Something buzzed in my phone.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, speaking of anime.
Okay.
So, Kinokuniya Books is doing their grand opening here.
Yeah.
They're Saturday and Sunday. So, Kinokuniya Books is a Japanese bookstore chain that has opened up 2 shops here in DFW.
Yep. Well,
D, specifically. It's in...
Well, C and P.
Yeah, Carrollton and Plano. So, the Carrollton shop is on Old Denton Road near
Trinity.
35.
Right?
Yeah. It's Old Denton Road and Trinity Mills, just off the Bush Tollway, and 35, actually.
Yeah.
And it is a 70-30 split in terms of, like, it's English books that are targeted at Japanese market, and 30% of their books are just Japanese.
They have a ton of manga, if you're into that.
Yes. Ah, okay.
And they're doing another one up in Plano.
Yes, which is going to be a more Japanese than English set.
But they've been open for a while, but I guess this is their official, like, grand opening.
Yeah, they're doing a grand opening with big... They're doing an event, and the reason I knew about it is that Akon, they're teaming up with Akon, you know, Big Brother convention to Nightmare Nights. Their host's doing, like, a...
They're watching you.
Yeah, well, I wish they'd give me some of their money.
You're their pony cuck.
Oh, God. Dallas is owned My Little Pony cuck. God damn it, Fuzz. But they're doing a grand opening celebration thing, and you can, you know, get discount tickets and whatnot while there.
Who was the VA you mentioned was going to be there?
Oh,
was it a VA? Some local voice artist.
Morgan Berry is her name. She does VO for Funimation, and she'll be there signing autographs from 1 to 3 on Sunday. And that's
pretty
cool.
Pretty cool.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, we're letting the Akon, the anime nerd types of the area, A, know this exists.
Yeah.
And B, letting people know that particular enclave area up there at the corner of Old Denton.
If you have a hard on for, like, Japanese pop culture.
Anything
holy
Asian.
Holy shit. Yeah, pretty much anything Asian. Do they have, like, a Korean supermarket or something up there,
too? Yeah, Super H Mart is technically Korean, I think, but they have everything.
They have Daiso Japan.
Is a Japanese, like, dollar store chain.
There's a Chinese restaurant, too, I think.
There's
which I can't eat at.
Multiple. There's tons of restaurants up in there.
Yeah.
It's this fantastic enclave if you love anything Asian. And it was nice. They turned a useless store like Hobby Lobby into a good store, like a Asian supermarket.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's also where Spa Castle is, which is a Japanese-style spa.
I guess Korean.
Whomever. Actually, I think it is Korean.
Yeah.
In any event, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Bit expensive, but also really nice.
I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's went there New Year's Eve. Yeah, because my sister's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Diddy had a bunch of like.
Oh, I think I remember you guys talking or whatever. Yeah,
and it was really nice because they have the nude bathing area. They have saunas downstairs, and they give you shorts and shirts to wear while you're there. Mm-hmm. And they have multiple saunas. They have an outdoor pool. They have a cool room. You can get massages and all that stuff. They have a restaurant. Actually, mm-hmm. two restaurants.
Yeah. And massages, you pay for those? Yeah. Or? Okay. So it's not all covered in the entry fee?
No, entry fee is like $35.
Yeah.
But that gets you in for the day, and it's no in out, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was really nice. I had a good time and was really relaxed and also, like, tired by the end of it.
Yeah.
You can go to the sous vide room, which is 180-something degrees inside. Really cook yourself.
Yep. Sauteed.
I mean, I went in there for a while. I'm like, this is fine.
Fennex.
Yeah. I have surprisingly high heat tolerance now.
Was it a wet heat or a dry heat?
Dry. Super dry. Mm. They have a couple of wet saunas, but like the higher temperature ones are definitely dry.
Mm.
They have a Himalayan salt room, which is ultra dry. Like the wall, floor, and ceilings are literally just bricks of Himalayan rock salt.
Mm, I hadn't heard of that.
They have a room that has like reflective gold plates on every surface minus the floor.
Ow, my eyes.
It's very low light.
Oh, okay. Just imagine walking in there and just being like blinded.
Oh, it's so bright in here. I can't see. it's really neat. So I think it's really cool.
So what's the thing with the rock salt? How does that affect
it just things? It sucks moisture out of the air.
Oh, does it?
Makes it really, really dry. So, there's a whole bunch of like mumbo jumbo bullshit. Yeah,
I'm always curious about like saunas and stuff like that. Like, what does that actually do to your body? Apart from
makes you sweat.
Yeah, and the mumbo jumbo is it removes the toxins.
Which if there's all these toxins just like sitting on the surface of your skin, that doesn't make any sense. Whatever.
Yeah,
it feels good, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have sweat, shower off. Feel better, and they have the dry sauna, which you can dry off. You know, and speaking of, I just gotta say, like, all this furry art of, like, people fucking in a sauna is bullshit. Like, nobody is going to want to fuck in a sauna.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially fur-having people. Like, if you are a furry creature in a sauna, you're going to be fucking baking.
Yeah.
And fucking, well, it's pretty sweaty work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's one of those things, it's like, the people that draw fucking in saunas, have they ever actually had sex?
I mean, at least in a shower, it makes more sense.
Yeah. You know, it's a silicone lube and not water-based.
Yeah. Fall on your ass, break your leg, end up going to the hospital.
But just like a dry sauna.
Yeah.
It's just like, nah, dude. That's they're very unsexy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
It sounds uncomfortable. I know I go in a sauna and feel like I'm dying, so, yeah. Oh. What's next on your list?
There's a WoW mini holiday going on right now called the Hatching of the Hippogriffs, which is literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like they've been trying to add little mini events to spice up the year because there's the cycle of holiday events. Like they just finished the Valentine's event, and I don't know what the next one up is. They had a Chinese New Year event, and they have the monthly Dark Moon Fair, which is a week long thing.
They do an Easter one.
Eggs. We're very much the Easter bunny and chocolate egg stuff. they add a couple new things each year, but. My character is so old in terms of WoW. Like, I've already gotten all that shit. So it's like, whatever.
Do new shit every year?
They add some new things to get.
Uh-huh.
But they don't add, like, it's not like you have to do the whole event again. It's just
right.
Like, oh, I need to get X number of, I need to find a bunch of eggs to get the tokens to buy the new thing they put this year.
Mm-hmm. And they'll mail you a Cadbury cream egg in real life.
Sounds great. the Hatching of the Hippogriffs, though, is a thing in Feralos that by the time you guys hear this, it's going to be over with. So, but basically, you go to the hippogriff nest and you stand by the egg, and then you get a hippogriff hatchling that will ride on your shoulder for a day.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. And except if you die, then you lose the hippogriff. So, it's for role players and
he'll eat your body and then flies away.
Yeah, you know, your body becomes fodder for the fledgling hippogriff. So at least you're doing something useful because you stood in the goddamn fire, you worthless raider.
Crawls inside you and stays warm for the night.
Yep, that's how they work. Hippogriffs are, in fact, parasitical. So actually, speaking of hippogriffs and griff-related griffin things, mm-hmm. So the pony movie is super furry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In case you guys didn't know, My Little Pony is actually kind of a subset of the furry fandom. You know, if you're having a cartoon about talking horses.
I can already hear it. The screaming of the Bronies.
So they've shown a bunch of the new characters from the movie and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's thus far depressingly little pornography of some of the characters that have been shown.
Didn't you say it was porn of the pirate? Bird lady.
Yeah, the pirate bird lady, forget her name. So the new movie has the ponies going outside of Equestria to do shit, I guess, mm-hmm. and introduces, like, there's parrots, there's parrot people, and there are cat people, and there's, like, yeti dudes, and edgy OCs, and of course there's sea ponies. So it's just, like, they've changed it so that, like, Equestria is a world of horses to Equestria is this nation specific.
They better sing the fucking song.
That, you know, this is where the horses live, mm-hmm. but there's all these other races elsewhere that will totally fuck your shit up. So it's like, yeah, the ponies, mm-hmm. sure, but you have cats and birds and zebras and yaks and yetis and minotaurs and dragons and griffins. And apparently hippogriffs are a possibility because mm-hmm. there's a movie character who has a toy that is a hippogriff.
What is a hippogriff again?
A hippogriff is a cross between a horse and a griffin. So a pony and a griffin fucked, and they had a kid.
Oh, okay.
They, in, like, mythological terms, hippogriffs were, like, a super unlikely, like, representative of super unlikely outcomes, because griffins preyed upon horses, at least in mythology. But no, this was a griffin and a horse fell in love.
Someone played with their food.
Yeah, someone played with their food and decided that they'd keep it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a bit grim, but apparently mm-hmm. griffins and ponies can fuck. So, you know, Fuda, Rainbow Dash, and Gilda can have their full.
Shooby-doo, indeed.
Shooby-doo it, bitches. And speaking of toys, I saw something cool today. At a Japanese toy fair here a little bit ago,
mm-hmm.
Standing in behind a thing that said, "No photography," in Japanese,
uh-huh.
somebody took two photos
uh-huh.
of Nick and Judy Revoltech super articulated action figures.
Oh.
Yeah. These fuckers look like they're about 5-6 inches tall, but they're Revoltech, so they're really well articulated. You've seen the Woody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So think like that, minus the rape face. And you
yeah,
have
I was going to say, hopefully less creepy looking.
Like, they were the gray plastic prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
They're apparently, these guys have got Disney license on lock because they like a Zootopia, and they're also doing like the Nautilus, I think it was, from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They had a model of like that ship that they're going to be making and a couple other things, but the focus was that's Nick and Judy figures. Oh shit, we're getting Nick and Judy Revoltech. Fuck yes.
Oh, okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that's actually really exciting because, like, Zootopia is unsurprisingly very popular in Japan, and mm-hmm. for Disney to be like, yeah, sure, go ahead, and do the licensing deal to get Revoltech toys mm-hmm. of the main characters makes me just, like, super happy because, like, it's one of those things where Zootopia was put out kind of like they were hoping Moana would be way bigger this year,
uh-huh.
and it didn't turn out to be that way.
Uh-huh.
Moana kind of came and went.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Zootopia, I mean, and this is my perception, I could be completely wrong in terms of, like, the box office, but Zootopia stuck around way longer, I think, than Moana ever did.
Mm-hmm.
We could actually pull up numbers while I'm talking bullshit, and you could tell me if I'm wrong or not.
Okay.
So that is really cool, and it'll be another one of those things I'll have to buy from Anime Pop. It's already bad enough that Little Witch stuff is going to pop up. It's like... It was funny because a couple days ago, old AC was like, "Hey, you know, it's now been a year since the last episode of Bronyville," and is like, "Where are we now?"
Been that long?
It has been that long. It was a bit sobering, and it's like, you know, he's off doing his show Saturday morning. It's like Super Best. I forget what his show's called. God damn it. I feel really bad because I was going to promote it. I need to pull it up. But
so, I mean, Moana's still in theaters.
Really?
Yes. Because it did pull up box office times for me. Its current box office total is $573.4 million. Zootopia ended up with over $1 billion total. But that they hit that after they released in China. And okay. I don't know if, like, Moana's had its Chinese release or the rest of the world yet. So
yeah.
It's kind of really hard to say at this point. If I had an idea of, like, where Zootopia was at this point in its release timeline,
yeah, and that has, I could give you. It had the 98 on Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah.
4.6 out of 5 on Google Play, 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
What's that, Zootopia or Moana?
And it apparently won an Academy. Oh, recent wins and nominee for, like, the Academy Awards haven't happened yet.
It's I'm the future.
Well, oh shit! I'm googling into the future.
Yes, Google is that powerful now. It knows what'll happen.
Man, I need to get some new shoes.
Oh my god, this is adorable! It's a puppy on a swing.
Aw, that is a.
It's on the Dog Rates account.
Yeah.
This is Atlas. Swinging is his passion. 12 of 10 would push all day.
I'm going to pull it up because he's taught my... This is Flane. He's off doing his own thing now. We're not doing podcasts together anymore. It's kind of a shame because I miss doing, like, more focused shows.
Uh-huh.
But then again, there's so much baggage when it comes to...
A pony show? Or...
Well, to just, like, doing focused shows. They're harder instead of the usual bullshit like we do for this week. Uh-huh. Where it's like we typed up a list of things and we loosely follow it. And is it really furry? Maybe. Not really. We're a couple furries. But there's not a ton, like, super furry stuff going on right now.
Yeah, it's not like when we, like, just gushed about Zootopia for, like, a year.
I know, right? As I look behind me and there's, like, the little Finnick. And to there's my right, there's Nick and Judy. The Nick and the Judy. And the Judy Disney Infinity 3.0 figure.
Uh-huh.
Where's my Nick? I know he's around here somewhere.
Which I still have my Nick and Judy sitting on my computer in the production room.
Yeah, because they're super cute.
Yeah, yeah. And I can always look at them and realize what a furry I am. Well, I don't really need that in the fur planet room. I was gonna say,
dude, you're kind of in the furry room.
I am, yes.
And this room's pretty furry too. All things considered, though, it's a lot more pony.
There's some pony, but there's some furries.
Yeah.
You need more furries.
Yeah, and see, what's great is I could totally hang up some, like, prints and stuff in here, like poster stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If I get posters of books I've completed, just be like, hey, check it out. It's a for Planet promotional poster for Out of Position. You know, it's like, just hang that shit up. Yeah! You know.
And you got your docky.
Yes. I do have my docky. I need to get a pillow for it.
Yes.
Or I can take the Luna one that I got from the Atro Luna one from years ago.
Mm-hmm. For those who aren't in the loop, he has a dev from Out of Position.
Dakamakura.
Yes.
Pillowcase with art by Rukus.
Yep.
And it's like, yes, this is a Dakamakura of character I voice. This is great.
Oh, I was going to mention this. Speaking of Rukus, so, you know, she's written several of her own books. She's written several comics. And... over the course of time, she's come up with pairings that she's basically shipping her own characters in, like, non-canonical settings. Like, I just want to see these two people fuck, even though this never happened in the original book or comic. So we're going to be releasing a book by her called Dubiously Canon that is a short story collection of all of her character shipping stories.
Ah, so... so Flane's current new show is called Saturday Friends Club.
Okay.
At Sat Friends Club.
On Twitter.
Does not follow me. But of course, it's also barely started and has
followers. What's it about?
It's basically Saturday morning cartoon bullshit.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
He doesn't follow my furry account. That piece of shit.
Are they talking about current cartoons or back in the day Saturday
morning? Back in the day. Like 90s cartoons. It was kind of like the idea that we had for Phantom Unlimited when we were trying to like co-do that during Bronyville, but it never really took off because fucking bronies are way too single-minded and it never really caught on.
Yeah.
So he's off doing, and he's doing stuff with locals, people local to him. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting around versus the over-the-air recording podcast kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, maybe you should convince him to come out here for Fiesta. And then, like, the three of us could do a show.
Yeah.
Do, well, like 80s, 90s cartoons.
He's going on a cruise.
Well, fuck him.
Yeah. So, basically, if you want to check out that show, you can probably do it. I should probably download it and give it a listen myself just to be like, I used to podcast with him. We used to be friends. No, we still talk. It's just we don't do anything creative together right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, God, it's been a year since we stopped Bronyville. It's a damn shame.
Hmm.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't miss it that much, but I also kind of miss doing more podcasts. I should be like, all right, weeb friends, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about anime for an hour and a half. It's like, it may not go anywhere, but we're going to do it, by God.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, we have doggos. We have doggo sign.
Oh, dear.
Yep. So right now we're going to stop and save.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
All
right. Got to pet the dogs.
This is not a terrorist thing. And this is not a sodomy thing. This is an angry chicken Indian spirit thing.
What?
And if we don't find out a way to stop them, we're all going to have mop shoved up our butts.
And we're back. Dog's been petted. Door's been closed. They can't wander in here and freak out that Fuzz is here. The dogs in this case, they're skittish and dumb in a lot of ways. I love Cairo and Spade. They're cute little dogs, but they don't do new people. And Cairo is really weird about about dudes specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he would come in here, freak out, and bark at you.
They just know a wolf when they see one.
Oh, totally. But so we close the door to the office because we don't want them doing that and coming in and barking and ruining everything. The only yap, 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 yap will be coming from me.
Damn right.
So during the break, I also checked a piece of mail we'd gotten. So last week, obviously, car issues. I mean, like, I was hit by a dipshit not paying attention.
Yeah.
And I took my car to one shop and got an estimate for like nearly $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took it to the other shop. And the insurance shop, and they were like, it'll be about $4,200 or $3,200. And he's like, well, to be completely honest, it's kind of in a gray area. It's like it's more than – it's in that 60 to 80% of your value of your car at this point. So, yeah. And it's like, well, it's up to the insurance, and I haven't heard back from them yet. And I was actually checking that piece of mail to see, are they going to total my car? Are they going to fix it? I prefer to have it fixed because I like my little rabbit.
Yeah.
Like, it needs work. It needs to get the driver's side door fixed that isn't related to the accident at all. And my headliner is fucked up, and it needs the air conditioner to be fixed. I mean, there's issues with the car, but I still like my little rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable driving the little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the car thing, and I was figuring, hey, I'll check this thing and see if I have news to tell people beyond Jesus Christ, car expenses, car repairs are expensive to the other to the insurance company, and also they have to be like, yeah, it's gonna be like 2 weeks for repairs once if they do it.
It's yeah,
like, fuck, man, I need my car.
Well, if when you put it into repair, the person that hit you's insurance should cover a rental car in that time frame.
Yeah, hopefully so. So, what else? Well, I'm back to reading free books. Got
yes.
some new stuff. I got two free books on my plate, getting back into the swing of things with, and have a audition in with a non-free book series that I haven't heard back from yet. I'm sure they probably contacted a bunch of folks, and I'm sure I'll hear something back eventually one way or the other. And that's another, like, I think it's a 9-book series of, like, mystery novels set in the South.
That'd be cool.
Like, it's like the kid's a chef who's, like, he's a caterer, but also does mysteries on the side, and so, sure, whatever.
Tell us a story, Uncle Saffron.
It's like, well, I was down at Beauregard's plantation, and there was a ghost. It turns out it was a ghost. Old racist, so we cast that motherfucker out.
I put on my ghost slapping gloves
and slapped the shit.
Got to slapping.
I slapped that Confederate son of a bitch straight back to hell.
That's volume two, Slap Down in South Louisiana.
Ghost slappers.
What an amazing series of books.
Yep. Well, there was that one, it's like Liartown USA is the name of the Tumblr, and they used to do, like, they haven't been very active recently, but they would make very convincing-looking fake Netflix titles.
Oh.
And it was like Ghost Puncher. It's like, a man moves into a house and starts dealing with a bunch of paranormal bullshit that he has nothing to do with, and he gets pissed off and starts punching the motherfuckers because it's really not his problem. Like, this is my house now. Fuck off.
I'm laughing because it reminds me of this headline and article I saw where a guy had been arrested up in one of the northern states. I can't remember which one. It might have been like Minnesota, because he took out a flamethrower and started using that instead of plowing. And so the cops came, and he said something like, he's tired of plowing tons of white bullshit.
Okay, here it is. You're watching Ghost Puncher, Spirits of the Old Plantation. After inheriting a rural Georgia farmhouse, Alec Caston and his family are tormented by shocking echoes of the past. But as terror slowly turns to boredom, then irritation, and finally anger, Alec concludes life is a big, fat, unfair mess at the best of times, and that whatever dreadful horseshit went on in the past has nothing to do with him or his family. Annoyed beyond reason, Alec begins slapping the shit out of the mopey spirits who, let's face it, were probably a bunch of whiny fucking assholes when they were alive. 2009, 1 hour 48 minutes. God. So, Liartown USA is a fun Tumblr. Well, I don't know if it's active anymore, but they produce some funny images.
What is it? Liartown
USA.
Liartown, okay.
Which is the humorous version of something like Christian Nightmares, which is a not terribly funny. Oh,
God. Yeah.
They talk about, well, Christian Nightmares. And
somebody says a swear.
Well, no, it's like old books, like putting women in their place. And like stuff like that.
You should have just called Christian Nightmares pearlclutching.com or something like that. So
let's see. Putting women in their place. A woman's place is in the church. A sign of judgment. A sign to the unbeliever. The last of the last day signs. Busybodies and bossy women. 100 titles by W.V. Grant. 3 million in print. 50 cents. And yes, the book's title was literally putting the women in their place. 1950s.
Jeez.
Fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, other important furry bullshit. Furry Fiesta registration ends in 2 weeks. If you guys are coming down, you better get your pre-reg in now, or you're gonna have to buy at the door. So, do it. Do it now.
Yes.
So we did get one message this week. We actually expected a bit more based upon our spiciness from last week. Oh, we got two, because there's the Anon from yesterday. We also got a post on our Patreon from Azriel, which is nice. So we're going to start with that one. It's like, hey, from Azriel. I used to listen to you guys when I was younger. It helped me get through the day. And I recommended your podcast to someone who recently turned 19. He's finding it very enjoyable and therapeutic. The last of the stories helped me get through the day. When I learned you guys had a Patreon, I had to donate. Keep up the good work, guys. I'm a longtime fan that started when you guys were doing episode 5. So that's really cool.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Let's see. Oh, the superstar has a question. Don't forget to post episodes 336 to 340 to the Tumblr. Yes, I'm sorry. I have been shit about posting things to Tumblr. I just need to be like, oh, here's the downloads. Get that shit. Really should be getting it off of Google Play or iTunes. Like, the Tumblr is, like, a completely weird tertiary thing for people that somehow don't have both and or want to listen to it on their computer outside of those two things. But yeah, we do need to update it.
There's also the links on the Tumblr to the different feeds.
Yeah.
So you can go there to get the links to the latest ones.
So Anonymous asked a question. You can read that one first.
Okay. A few years ago, didn't you say that you were making too many anti-Semite and Nazi jokes? I remember you saying that it was getting to the point that nearly every show contained a joke about Jews and that you needed to make it a rule not to make any more into future shows. Anyway, as you don't mind getting political on the show anymore, what are your opinions on Trump meeting with the Israeli PM for talks about bringing an end to the conflicts between them and the Palestinians? XXX.
So, on the first part, yeah, actually, we did have to kind of step in and realize we're being kind of shits. No Holocaust jokes was a rule.
It was like those were like joking rules, though. That we sort of broke them to be funny, breaking our own rules because
we
were young and dumb.
And we were young and dumb, and we've since stopped that shit. Like, we had the rules as sort of a, you know, no scat, no, you know, Fuzz should eat a sandwich before the show, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm sure at the point with previous hosts, there were points where, yeah, bad jokes were made. And I'm sure that in 340 prior episodes, we've all said some dumb shit.
So the rules are on Wiki for number 3 was no scat or water sports, and number 4 was no Holocaust jokes.
Yeah, which, again, it blows my mind that we have a Wikifer article. But then again, considering we're on episode 341, yeah, I suppose we are ostensibly notable for the furry community enough to have a Wiki article. As for Trump sitting down with the Israeli prime minister, well, from what I heard, that didn't go so hot because he was like, 2 state, 1 state, they're both okay, I'm fine with what you like. And that was like, wait, what? You know, because
I think the Israelis were probably looking for a more firm course of action from America.
Yeah, like, he was very much like, it very much was, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you guys want is fine, is not really helpful when the U.S. is trying to be a party to brokering peace between these two very angry people.
2 states are fine. I mean, we have 50. Look at us.
Yeah. But, like, when he says, you know, Trump says 1 state, like, that makes the Palestinians super fucking mad. Because they're like, fuck you, we're not sharing this land with the Jews.
Mm.
And the Israelis are like, if this is back to, you know, 1947 or whatever, the, you know, original lining out that includes all the areas that are Palestinian right now, that puts them in the democratic makeup of Israel. And then, you know, unless you wanted to have an apartheid state, which that would really not be good, and you have a one-state solution where everyone has a vote, you're going to end up with basically, well, the political parties of America, except with more bombings. So, basically, Trump didn't do anything to help, which is not a big surprise.
Yeah, foreign policy is not a strong point. I mean, it's not mine either, but I also didn't run for the fucking presidency.
Yeah, it's like, I don't pretend to know much more than, man, there is really not a lot of good points on any side there, but it would be nice if they could get their shit together. But then again, the entire Middle East has been a shithole since Babylon. Probably before that.
Humanity was a mistake.
Yeah, you know, once people moved out of the Fertile Crescent and on to, you know, bigger and better things, it's all been dipshits killing dipshits. And tribal warfare has been a reality of that portion of the world literally since there has been written history. And
should we just nuke everybody?
No.
like I mean, the whole world, like us too.
You know, we should fling the Earth into the sun. Just be like,
no, I mean, the Earth didn't do nothing wrong. We should nuke humanity.
The Earth would do fuck all to the sun. We'd just be an extra few minutes of fuel, if that.
No, I'm saying don't take it out on Earth. Just kill all of us, and Earth will be fine.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the next race
Earth will evolve like a super intelligent race of, like, anthropomorphic roaches or something like that. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe not. Who knows? So, basically, he managed to piss off everybody, I think, in
Good
that
job.
Regard. Good job, dude.
Mm.
You know? So how do we feel? Well, he botched it. So, well.
Yeah, I didn't read up much on that particular meeting. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that it was a shit show.
Yeah, basically, I caught it because people are like, Jesus Christ, really? Because I do keep up on politics. You kind of have to nowadays.
The only thing I heard about his meeting with the Prime Minister of Canada is that everyone wants to fuck Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing I heard.
He's a pretty good looking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd fuck him.
There's this thing I retweeted the other day where somebody had written, his eyes are up here, and it was a picture, and it really showed off his butt. Nice. And I was like, yeah, he is a good-looking guy.
That's weird.
What?
My phone is showing as having no service.
Oh, okay.
That's quite strange.
No service for you.
No soup for me. No, airplane mode's not on. I'm going to switch it on and back off. That'd be weird if the local cell network went down. No, no, just came right back. Fucking strange. You're a new phone. You're not allowed to fuck up. I've only had you for like 6 months.
That's not a 7, though, right? That's
it's
like
the SE. It's like the...
It's the 6SE.
No, it's the... did it come out? It came out, I think, at the same time as the 7, maybe. Oh. Basically, it's the 6 Plus in a... It's the 6, but in the form factor of a 4S.
Yeah,
5,
I remember you wanted the smaller
because
one.
Because I wanted the smaller phone. Because
for your Wii Fennec paws.
My Wii Fennec paws! Because they have to grab and bat at the screen, you know? Yeah. They have to be careful.
Right.
Because Panther has a 6, the full-size one, and it's a bit large.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also thin. It's, like, slightly thinner than this guy.
Yeah.
And, like, so it was a little... I didn't feel comfortable with it, right?
Because
It's like, I'm going to break this thing. I've never actually broken a phone, but like, I still
you
have
better knock on wood.
Knock, knock.
Yes.
I still have an OtterBox on this thing. So,
yeah, yeah.
Because otters are just so slippery and useful for protecting your shit. You just shove it inside an otter into otter space, and it's good. And you poke the belly to access the buttons.
Wiggles when you receive a phone call.
Yeah, you hear it just giggles. Oh, you're good to call because it's permanently set to vibrate mode. Come on, somebody drop porn to that.
God, it'll happen.
Otter iPhone holders.
Yes.
So, I mean, when it comes to the political bullshit, it's new. What new horrors await us every week? And, you know, as LGBT people, it's scary times, but you just gotta watch out for each other and be sure to say, nah, fuck you, when it comes to any sort of discrimination you see. Like, be it anybody giving some woman shit for wearing a hijab, or someone giving a transgender person shit for using the restroom, stand up to that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them, knock it the fuck off, you know? Because... you can't just let that shit happen.
Yeah.
And yeah,
apparently there's a real rise in anti-Semitic crime lately.
Yeah,
too.
Well, like there was
vandalism. The Jewish cemetery.
The Jewish cemetery had like thousands of dollars, like people just went bounty.
But there was also a synagogue that got vandalized, and apparently Muslims raised money to repair it.
And there's also... There's also been all, like, the bomb threats at the Jewish community centers and all that shit, too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And I'm like, really? What the fuck is wrong with people?
It's like, really? You know, we've done this a lot of times already. We're getting real good at spotting it. We just need to also get good at stopping it. Ugh, God. We just hang the fuck in there, guys.
I just saw somebody online the other day defending Japanese internment in the 1940s because they were our enemies at the time. And I'm just like...
No, they weren't. They were citizens. We have literal... We have George fucking Takei. He's written a book about this and a play, I think. I know it's at least a book.
Okay.
Like, about his experiences.
I'm just like, oh, people are fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, well. So
have a good week. So, no, good night, Big Balls.
You know, I don't want to be a downer, but I still got to talk about the shit of the week. Like,
We've already talked about.
No, I'm just saying it's like, oh, in terms of like the show as a whole. It's
like is there talk something about, shittier no, than no. Milo and Dick Spencer?
We talk about the shit of the week and we talk about the cool shit of the week, but there's lots of shit you got to talk about. Yep. Otherwise, it drives you fucking nuts. And I will say, you know, all this political bullshit has really raised the amount of communication between Panther and I. We're talking a way fucking lot more because it's like, holy shit, honey, did you see this shit today? It's like, you find that solidarity in terror.
Bringing families closer together as they huddle underneath a staircase so that ice doesn't find them.
Christ.
Yeah, that whole situation, that pisses
so
me off.
So let's wrap this shit up, though, because we are nearing not quite hour 20, and it'll be a little bit shorter once I edit it a little bit. But, you know, guys, we're still going to be here. We're still going to talk hot shit, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you guys at Furry Fiesta here in less than a month.
Yep.
We're not doing a live show or anything, but you can find Fuzz in the vendor hall. You can find me in the video game room. Be happy to high-five you, shake your hand.
Shiva will also be in the vendor hall.
Yeah, Shiva will be in the vendor hall, too, at the door.
Except for the hour that she has her tea panel on Sunday.
Yes, she's doing
which maybe this year I'll actually be able to go to it. I say every year that I want to go and have some tea.
It is Shiva's tea party, as in, like, they have tea.
Yes.
Various types of tea.
It's a tea time for the soul, I think, is what it's called on the schedule. And I'm on some panels, too.
Oh, yeah, you're doing a few panels.
I'm doing a Furry Writers Guild panel. There's a For Planet Reading panel that's actually AD because we have an erotica anthology coming out.
Hell yeah.
They'll be read from. I'm doing a publisher Q&A panel, and the fourth one is doing an episode of Not Sheathed with Kyle. So I guess I'll be doing a live show. But
depends on the time, right?
Yeah, it's Sunday in the middle of the day, I think.
I don't want to crash your panel.
No. But we're going to be talking about writing stuff and what happened at the con.
Meanwhile, I'm just going to be like, I've been in the video game room all weekend. I've heard the same five songs on Rock Band 20 times. If I hear Bohemian Rhapsody again, I'm going to skull fuck my ears with a pencil.
Were you saying that you did this last year or you were thinking about it? About a tip jar where every time they played Bohemian Rhapsody or Stairway to Heaven, they would have to pay.
Donate a dollar.
Yeah.
It's like money goes to care.
Yeah. Did you actually do that or
no,
is that just an idea?
Someone's bringing the Rock Band kit this year, so I may do that. It's like,
okay.
If you want to play these songs, you need to put a dollar in the jar. Jar goes to the kitties.
Because I'm sick of hearing these same songs over and over again.
Beyond that, you can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. Found me on YouTube at justfox.com. I'm probably going to be streaming Night in the Woods this week at some point. And say this week,
so
probably
that'd be fennec.top for
yes,
your
fennec.
Streaming.
Yes, fennec.top redirects to my poor, neglected Twitch channel.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, with it, what really sucked is, like, the shit with my sister really threw me off base.
Yeah.
And, like, was super emotionally draining, and doing streaming is actually really hard for me. Like, it's hard, but it's fun. Like, when you get some good interaction going, and it's fun to just do it, but after a while, it requires a certain level of emotional energy to do.
Yeah.
And, like, during the peak of that shit, I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
And it impacted a lot of my shit. And it's kind of wrapped up in as much that it's been 3 months at this point, and things have settled down, and my sister's back living at home again. But I want to get back to it, because it is fun, and just playing video games on stream with dudes is nice. So I need to get back to it, much like I need to get back to recording, which, again, I need to do. I need to get a little whiteboard and write myself a schedule, and, like, this is my production schedule, do it! Quit talking to motherfuckers on Discord!
Do it, audio cuck!
Damn it, Fuzz. All right. Well, where can they find your bullshit, Fuzz?
My bullshit is on my personal Twitter, at FuzzWolf. And my publishing stuff is at FurPlanet. Go to FurPlanet.com to buy books. And that's really about it. I mean, I have a Tumblr and an FA and stuff like that, but I'm not super active there. You can go to my FA where I'll post commissions I get, stuff like that. I'm just Fuzzwolf on all of those sites. And that's about it. Anything else going on? I need to drag Tieran out to see John Wick 2. I haven't seen it yet. And I'm also, it's going to be March here next week. And
Logan.
I'm looking forward to Logan.
I got an AMC gift card.
Oh, so do we. We have the good cards, the certificates that are used many times, even on brand new releases. Yeah,
mine's just a gift card.
So okay.
Yeah. I need to go. I've been wanting to, because Panther's not interested in John Wick 2 or Logan.
Oh.
So, I just need to go take the time and do it.
Yeah.
Also, in Night in the Woods, the main May makes little notes in her notebook where she draws like a thing she sees, and this is a post like Greg rules, okay, and she drew Greg, her wolf friend.
Aw.
So cool. That's gonna wrap it up for this week. Maybe if we pissed you off, you'll write in next week and tell us how we're awful fur cucks. but for now, good night.
And big balls.